Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he made this statement. He said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, that's an absolute command, not a suggestion. He said, there's no way you're ever, Timothy, going to be what God wants you to be if you won't be strong in the grace. And we understand that when we give to God like we're going to do tonight, we're doing it by the grace of God. I love the definition that I learned as a child in Sunday school. Many of you learned it, the definition of grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. It's that ability, that strength, that empowerment for us to be able to be what God wants us to be. Now, the devil wants you to do anything but grace giving tonight, because the devil wants you to get under your ideas and your matters. I can remember going with my grandfather. My dad and my granddad were great cattlemen. We slaughtered a lot of cattle, and they would go to all these fairs and these national shows to judge the cattle. And I would go with them on occasion, and then they would buy all the kids 4-H cattle. And once it got started, my granddad would put me in there, and he'd say, "Now, here's a bucket of popcorn, here's a Coca-Cola, just sit here. And every one of the cattle that comes in here for any of these young people, you start the bidding at $1 a piece, $1 a pound." Now, $1 a pound on a 1,500-pound animal is $1,500. And in the 60s, that was a lot of money. You could have bought any of those animals for $200 to $300. And he wanted me to bid $1 a pound. So I'm sitting there eating popcorn, drinking Coca-Cola. Everyone that comes in, $1 a pound. And people came up to me and said, "What do we have to do to get you off $1 a pound?" I said, "You got to go talk to my granddad. He's the one who's put it $1 a pound." Well, I remember, boy, that day, we bought almost 600 cattle. We bought a lot. And on the way home in the car, I'm in the back seat, and I turned to my granddad and I said, "Grandpa, we spent an awful lot of money today I don't think we had to spend." He put on the brakes, pulled over the side, took me out of the car. And when your granddad yanks you out of the car, this is not a sign of good things coming. He said, "David, I'm worried about you." He said, "I want you to understand something. Number one, it wasn't your money. And he said, number two, it wasn't my money. He said, everything in my pocket, everything in your pocket belongs to God." Now he said, "David, every one of those animals that we bought, we did two wonderful things. First of all, we did something to them that we would have loved for them to do to you. Would you have loved for somebody to pay that for your animals?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we did a good thing." But he said, "Number two, we gave every one of them a gospel tract with the Romans Road on it with every check we wrote. So every one of those kids got witnessed to." He said, "Son, if you start acting like it's your money, if you start acting like what's in your pocket belongs to you," he said, "it will mess you up with God big time." He said, "Do you realize God gives so that you can give? God gives so that you can give more in abundance." So when Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, Peter, chapter 3, 2 Peter, said, grow in this grace. Now, have you ever read through the scriptures to see how much God emphasizes this grace matter? Romans 1, 7, grace to you and peace from God. Romans 16, verse 20, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Again and again. 1 Corinthians 1, 3, grace be unto you. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, grace be to you. Galatians 1, 3, grace be to you. Ephesians 1, 2, grace be to you. Philippians 1, 2, grace be unto you. Colossians 1, 2, grace be unto you. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1, grace be unto you. 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, grace be unto you. 1 Timothy 1, 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. 2 Timothy 1, 2, grace, mercy, and peace. Titus 1, 4, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Philippians 1, 3, grace to you. 1 Peter 1, 2, grace unto you. 2 Peter 1, 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. 2 John 1, 3, grace be with you. Revelations 1, 4, grace be unto you. Isn't it amazing how many times God says to you and to me, grace. Grace be unto you. Now that command for all that grace was not so that we could just store it up and have it. That was so that we could work upon it. You see, God wants grace in our life because that's the means by which we, empowered by the Holy Spirit, live the Christian life. And I ask you this simple question tonight. Did you come here with the understanding, did I, that what's in my pocket doesn't belong to me? It belongs to the Lord. And the question is, when I get ready to give, am I going to give based on what I think, or am I going to give based on grace? Now, the passage I turned you to, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth abundantly shall reap also abundantly. Now, there's no one in this room in their right mind who doesn't want God to be abundant in what he gives you. I've never met anybody who said, my goal in life is for God to give me less. We want God's abundance. But you know what God says? If you want to have abundance given to you, then you have to give in abundance. Read it one more time. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth abundantly shall reap also abundantly. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now be careful, I heard the story of the little girl who went to Sunday school, and her mom gave her a $1 bill and a $5 bill, and she said, you can put one in the offering and keep the other for yourself. So the little girl went off to Sunday school, and after church came out, and the mother said, did you put something in the offering? She said, oh yeah. Well, did you put the $1 bill in or did you put the $5 bill in? She said, well, the teacher said that God loves a cheerful giver, and I decided I'd be much happier if I had the $5 rather than the $1. That's not this. You know what God wants? After all he's done for us, what God wants is for you and for me to say, I love giving to you. I know it's for a project, and praise the Lord for all of the incredible projects that by the grace of God this church has accomplished, but we're giving to God. And how can that not put a smile on your face? How can that not make you cheerful, cheerful? I was with a friend of mine, a lawyer, and we're in his office, and his secretary put her head in the door, and the secretary said, "Remember, tomorrow's your wedding anniversary. Be sure you get your wife a gift." And he said, "Yeah, I guess I got to get her something, right?" And I looked at him, and I said, "What do you mean you got to get her something? What kind of nonsense is that?" I said, "Don't you want to get her something?" He said, "Well, you know how it is. If you don't get them something, they think you're a bum." I said, "I already know you're a bum." I said, "Isn't there something in you that wants to give?" And he said, "No." I said, "My friend, your marriage is in real trouble. Real trouble. When you start treating it like it's yours, rather than entrusted by God to your care, and all of a sudden you start acting like, who will I give my money to? God says, no. I want you to be that cheerful giver. Now, God will take your money whether you're cheerful or not, but he loves a cheerful giver. How many of you have grandchildren? Hold your hand up. How many of you love giving things to your grandchildren? Oh, yeah. It puts a smile on your face because you love them, and so you love giving to them. If you love the Lord, that same smile will be there. God loves a cheerful giver. Now verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Would you underline that, all grace? You want to unleash the power of God in your life? Give, give. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God said, what I want you to do is be liberal in your giving. I want you to abound in it. Now, I've said this here many times before. Whenever we hold a meeting like this, there's three types of givers. And truly, I've been guilty of all three types on occasion. The first type of giver is the polite giver. You say, well, I ought to give something. I mean, after all, wouldn't look good if I didn't give something. And so you just give a something. Please don't do that to God. Don't you do that. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I feel like I need to protect my stash from God. How many of you know if God wants to take your stash, he knows how to take it? He's God. The most foolish thought in the universe is that somehow I'm going to protect, quote, my stash from the Lord. God doesn't want you just to be a polite, nodding giver. The second type of giver is the calculated giver. That's the person who says, I want to give, but I don't want to give where it's a stretch. I don't want to give where it costs anything else. I don't want to do that. Whoa. God knows what's in our hearts, and God knows if that's our heart. Don't be the calculated giver. My precious wife, Glory Ann, has helped me on this so many times. I'll come up with a number, and I'll say, this is the amount I think we ought to give. And she says, oh, that's great. Where'd you get that number, honey? And the minute she asks that question, I know I'm in trouble. I know it. I said, well, I just prayed about it and thought about it. And she said, yeah, but did God give you that number or did you come up with that number? And I said, well, we sort of both did. She said, honey, if that's the number God gave you, I'm all in. But if that's the number you calculated, don't cheat our family, honey, by not giving liberally, by not giving much. Whoa. God says when you give, he says make sure you do it bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. A young couple, both of them lawyers, came to our ministry, husband and wife. And we were in Florida at that time, and when they arrived, they had a brand new car. And I went out and I got in their brand new car, and boy, it was a hot day in Florida. Now, you get a lot of hot days here, but in Florida, it's hot and humid. And so I said, boy, crank up the air. Let's get some air conditioning going in here. And they said, our new car doesn't have air conditioning. I said, what? They said, we bought a brand new car with no air conditioning. I said, did you guys not understand you're coming to Florida? They said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, what in the world were you thinking? They said, well, the money was given to us to buy a brand new car. And we went to the dealership, and boy, there it was. And we signed the papers, and we're going to take it. But in the back of the lot was another car exactly like ours. And the dealer said, I can give you that car for $3,000 less because it has no air conditioning on it. And Brother Gibbs, God spoke to our heart and said, we could give that. We could give that. Air conditioning doesn't mean that much to us. Right, Brother Gibbs? And I said, right. Can I tell you one thing? God has rewarded and blessed them over and over and over again because they didn't do it to be polite and they didn't do it by calculation. The third type of giver is the faith giver. They gave by faith. Wow. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I know God says that he'll come through, but what if he doesn't? Now, if you're only going to hear one thing tonight, please hear this. He always comes through. Amen. Always. You can trust him. He never breaks his word. And when he says that he will make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, God will never fail to come through. Never. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, what if this one time he doesn't? You know what? I have people question me when I witness to them on airplanes. I know you say if I do this, that heaven will be my home. But what if God just doesn't do it? I said, you can trust him. His word is sure. You can equally trust him on this. Equally trust him. His word is sure. Now, I want you to look at one other promise from the mouth of Jesus himself. Turn in your Bibles, please, back to the book of Luke, chapter 38. I love this verse. When we talk about grace giving, the thing I love about this verse so much is it's one word of command and 49 words of promise. God says, I'm going to command you to do one thing, and if you'll do the one thing, I'm going to unleash 49 words. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Oh, did I send you to the wrong book? Well, wherever you were, it's good, all right? But it would be helpful if I got you to the right book. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Here's the one word of command from the mouth of Jesus. Give. Give. Boy, that's easy enough. Give. Here's the promise. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Brother Gibbs, I need for God to open up heaven's storehouse to me. Then God says, you go first. Give. And it shall be given unto you. But God's going to give unto you in the same measure that you gave unto him. That promise is sure. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of countless people. My grandfather is now in heaven. But when he would hear about our church having a special offering or special missions conference, he would always call and he'd say, David, remember, what's in your pocket doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And he wants you to give. And he's promised that if you will do that, he'll give unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. God makes it so clear. But would you be willing to activate that promise tonight? I don't know what amount you came here with, but please don't do it to be polite. And don't do it just to be calculated. I encourage you, grace giving is taking God at his word and saying, by the grace of God, I'm going to trust God to do exactly what he's promised to do. I'm going to give. And it shall be given unto me. I had a family come up to me. They said, Brother Gibbs, we're in a lot of trouble. Our children, all three of them have severe medical difficulties. And they got classified as pre-existing conditions, and we haven't been able to get medical coverage for them. And it has bankrupted us in the extreme. And life has just been incredibly difficult. We love the Lord. And you're preaching on faith all the time, so we wanted to come and ask you, if you were us, what would you do? And boy, they told me their story, and I said, whoa. You've had a lot of trials. I said, here's what I'd do. Give. They said, what? I said, give to God. They said, but we don't have hardly anything. I said, give. Because the God you serve has promised that he'll give back to you. And I love how one preacher said it. He said, the shovel you use to shovel it out is much smaller than God's shovel when he shovels it back in. Give, and it shall be given unto you. They said, Brother Gibbs, we've asked a dozen preachers and none of them have said give. I said, well, you asked me what I would do. That is what I would do. Because God never breaks his word. I saw him a month later. And I said, how's your family? They said, good. But they said, the reason we came was we took your advice and we gave. And they said, Brother Gibbs, it's become miraculous what's happening. Money started coming in from sources we never imagined. And they said, here's the biggest miracle. The hospitalization people called us and said, we made a mistake. when we denied coverage to your three kids. Your kids are now fully covered for everything. They said, do you understand that's hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? And they said, we believe it happened because we gave. I don't know what's in your life. You don't know what's in mine. All I can promise you is give, and it shall be given unto you. I say this to the men here. Sometimes I just get squeamish. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, I know the promise. Dr. Shepherd, I know what I should do. But somehow then when you're going to put the pen to the paper, and that's where the devil's making his pitch bid. Please, I beg you, remember, what's in your pocket belongs to God. And he put it there so that you could give. And he said, I promise you, when you give by grace, it will be given back to you. And he says, give, and men are going to give to you by the promise of God himself. This is sure. Tonight, don't let the devil win the moment. Don't, whatever you do, let the devil conquer this. You say, yeah, but if I give now, maybe I won't have enough to give in the future. No, read the promise. God says, you give now, and I'll be sure you have to give in the future by promise of God. Nothing can change this promise. It's forever, ever true. J.C. Penney, Welch's grape juice, Laterno machines, stories of great business giants that were all bankrupt. And then all three of those men claimed one verse, give, and it shall be given unto you. I love what J.C. Penney said. He said, I wasn't bankrupt. He said, I was beyond bankrupt. But then I gave to God, and God turned it around. Nothing but nothing can take the place of God in your giving. It's called grace. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And God has promised. I can still hear my granddad scolding me at the side of the road. That wasn't your money, David. And that wasn't my money, that was God's money. And when we give, God has promised that he'll always give back. Tonight, I beseech you for the Savior. I know you love him. The one who gave the unspeakable gift, salvation through Jesus Christ. Tonight, by faith, venture out. And in just a moment, when we do this commitment, give, understanding that your God has promised that with the same measure that you put it out, with that same meat, he'll meet it back. It's the promise of God. I can assure you the devil's walking the aisles right now, trying to whisper in my ear and yours, play it safe. Play it safe. Yeah, I know what he said is in the Bible, but play it safe. I close with this. The only way to play it safe is to give. That's how you play it safe. Give, and it shall be given unto you.